Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we just want to thank you for your goodness, for your mercy to us. Lord, we just ask for your wisdom this morning as we open our hearts and our lives to you. Lord, help us be faithful to you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Again, I want to extend greetings to you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning I want to have a few thoughts of understanding who God is. We talk a lot of times, or we speak, or we hear in the Old Testament about God. And we see that in His commandments that, for one thing, it says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me, because I am a jealous God." That's part of who God is. He is not a God that is going to just lightly share our devotion to Him. There's a lot of people that as we're preaching, come up and say, "Well, that's not how my God is. My God wouldn't say that. My God doesn't judge. My God doesn't hate." People have created gods of their own imagination. Bible says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." Whenever we think of a graven image, we think of a god of rocks, or a god of stones, or a god of a golden idol. But to make a graven image is to create in our own mind an image of God that is not proper. That's just as much an idol as some little form or figure that we would set up and bow down to. If we have in our minds an image of a God that does not line up with the Bible, we have created an image of God that is just as much an idol as anything that's ever been created in all of time. The God of the Bible is who we believe is going to be our God. The God of the Bible is the God who is the creator of this world. And we better know who He is. It's going to be a horrible day when all these people come face to face with the God of the world. When all these people come face to face with the Creator. when all the people come face to face with the God of the ages, their opinion about who they think is God will not matter anymore. There's people, just this week we heard them say, well, if that's who God is, I don't want Him to be my God. I don't want the kind of God you serve. Well, what does that have to do with anything? We either serve the real God, or it's just a pretend God, one of our imaginations. And they've declared plainly that if they don't want the God that we serve, then they don't want the God that is their creator. One of the things that we've been talking about quite a bit lately is that we've got some signs that mention the word hate to them. And you'd be absolutely shocked by how many people come up and say, my God doesn't hate anything. They're going to be shocked whenever the Lord, before or when He returns. I was just reading through the book of Revelation a little bit. Let's turn there. Revelation chapter 6. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. One of the judgments, one of the seals of the last day is one of these four beasts. And he's going to be given power by God to go forth and to conquer. And when I'd opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they would kill one another. And there was given him unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard, and the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat upon him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and wine. One of these beasts is going to conquer. We don't hardly know what it means to conquer in war. because we supposedly are civilized. This is the 20th century, 21st century. It's 2011. We know how to get along, supposedly. To conquer is to win a war. And to win a war, you destroy things and kill people. That's how you conquer. Tell them about what it's going to cost. There's going to be this one of these seals. These people are going to starve to death because it's going to cost everything that they have just for a little bit of wheat or a little bit of barley. There's going to be a famine. Who's behind this? Love. God is love. Don't you know that? God is love. He would never do anything like that. God would never send an angel to conquer. Because God is love. Jesus is all about love. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. His name was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, this verse in 8, a fourth part of the earth. They say there's almost 6 billion people in this world. 1.5 billion people are going to die because of this one angel that God sent out. One angel is going to kill 1/4 of the world. And God is the one sending him. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood from them that dwell on the earth?" And the white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, till their fellow servants also, and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains and said unto the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? I don't see how anyone thinks that they're doing anyone any favors by trying to point someone to a God that would never do anything like this, when the Bible says plainly that this is what's going to happen. God is love. But as we've said before, His love is not on trial. God is going to judge this world. When the Lord Jesus comes back, it's going to be in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all those who obey not the gospel. It's going to be full of wrath and anger. You and I can get angry sometimes. You and I know what it is to have that feeling that you'd just like to get a hold of somebody sometime. Maybe we've forgotten it. Before we were converted, how it felt to really be mad at somebody. Well, God is angry with the wicked every day. And He restrains Himself. His mercy is holding back His wrath. Just waiting to give someone the opportunity to repent. We heard about Ahab this morning. And how, what kind of a wicked king he was. And yet, at the end of his life, he heard God. He listened. And he humbled himself. And God spared his judgment on him. One of the wickedest kings in the Bible. And yet when he humbled himself, God's mercy was there. Those who continue in their pride, in their rebellion, there's nothing but wrath and judgment. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs that when their fear comes upon them, He will mock them and laugh at their calamity. This is who God is. Yes, He's merciful. If you return to Him and His way, one of the best ways that I know to figure out how to please someone is to know what someone does not like. And then do the opposite. It's one thing to know what he loves, what someone loves. We've talked about that. And to do the things that people love. But you know, an even better way to find that out, or another way to find more out about it, is to find out what someone hates and avoid it and stay away from it. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy. There's a lot of us hate evil. And it's good to love what is right. Righteous. The Bible says if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we'll be filled. Heaven is made for the righteous. And it's not talking about the self-righteous. It's talking about people who love what is right. They hate what is wrong. Do we love what's right? Not just get by. I mean, where is it that people love the truth? They love the good. Today in this world, the good is despised. People don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear a nice, smooth gray. They hate the truth. They hate real righteousness. Set your hearts on loving what's right. Forget about all the things that's going to happen in this world that you go through. It's spring. It's warmed up. Everybody wants to be out doing something now. Everybody wants to be out busy because it's time. We've had to wait for a long time for things to prepare. The weather's been bad. The crops are, it's just not time to put them out yet or to harvest them. Just hadn't been a lot of things going on as far as business and building and doing things like that. But now the sun's shining. And it's warmed up. And everybody wants to be out doing something. And we get so occupied and so busy about doing things sometimes. Lord comes back, it may be on a day just like this, when everybody just wants to be so busy because they see so many things that they could be doing. And it's going to be a real aggravation because the Lord came back, because I couldn't do my little chore or the play that or do whatever I wanted to do today and get accomplished. Because judgment came. And I didn't get to accomplish the little task that was in front of me. Love righteousness. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. But then right after that it says pride and arrogance and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. There's a lot of people that hate evil, and they're so full of pride because they're not doing those things anymore. They hate all these self-destructive, selfish people. They're full of pride. It's hard when we're out there and we see all the wickedness that's going on in the world. It's hard to hate that and not be filled with pride. It's hard not to hate what's going on and not be filled with pride and not become arrogant in ourselves. It's hard not to hate those people. It's hard not to think, boy, they're stupid. It's hard not to think that without exalting ourselves. Without thinking that, boy, I'm sure glad I'm not like that. It's a real temptation there. And there's a lot of people who have fallen on that. A lot of people have fallen into it. A pride and an arrogancy that comes with hating evil. It's a danger. One of the verses in the Bible, in the Beatitudes, it says, Matthew chapter 5, when you call your brother a fool, Verse 22, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. A lot of times, our anger is not because of what they're doing is right and wrong. It's because it offends us. That's whenever it's without a cause. That's when it's without a cause, whenever it just offends us. We're not offended sometimes because it offends God. Whosoever is offended with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. We've got to guard against despising humanity. There's people that know better and act like fools. And Jesus called people fools when they were fools. He didn't lie and say they weren't. But it's so easy for us to get an attitude and just hate people and think that we're better than they are. I remember a time when my darkness was just as great as any darkness there was. And it is God's grace that taught my heart to fear. I have no claim to anything else but that. I have choices. And I've made choices. And I can choose what's right and wrong. But if it isn't for the grace of God that teaches us to despise ungodliness and worldly lust and to live righteously and soberly and godly, I'm just as unrighteous and ungodly as anybody else is in the world. God's mercy reached down and condemned me in my darkness. And He had mercy on me by showing me that I was wicked. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. Put that on yourself before you put it on anybody else. But God hates these things. God hates these things. If you have a father and you know he hates something, are you going to parade it around in front of him? if you have a father and you know that he hates something, are you going to make sure he sees you with it every chance you get? No, you're not. Unless you're really proud and arrogant, you're going to keep that thing or get rid of it because you know your father hates it. That's how you can show you love your father. Proverbs 6, verse 18. Verse 16. These things doth the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination to him. A proud look. A proud look. It's what we've been talking about. Just a proud look. Why, in women, the Bible says specifically shamefacedness and sobriety. A great value, a woman of great value. That's shamefaced and sobriety. Shamefaced and modesty. Meek and quiet. But a proud look. It's amazing how many women come up and proudly say, I'm not meek and I'm not quiet and the Lord loves me. How deluded. How deceived. Who's right? The false people who've created an image of a God that loves everything, loves you just the way you are, created you the way you are, or the Word of God? The Word of God will stand. You can invent your theologies and wondering how to be saved and how to do all those things all you want. But if you want to know how to be saved, find out what God hates and do the opposite. You want to fit into heaven. Find out what God hates and what God loves. And act accordingly. If you see all these women running around with this proud look on their face because they think they're so beautiful. I want to refute a little of what Kevin said this morning. He said Jezebel thought she was pretty and so she painted her face. No, she didn't. She knows she's ugly and had to paint her face. To make her appear beautiful. Because she knows she's wicked on the inside. When a woman has to decorate herself and paint her face and hang jewelry all over herself and put on all the beautiful clothes, it's because she knows she has an ugly heart. And she's trying to give someone the idea that she's pretty. Because it ain't there. So she has to cover it all up from the outside. That's what God's talking about when He says, nothing shall hurt the woman with that kind of beauty on the inside. hates. Find out what he hates. Find out what he loves. And you'll find yourself not worrying about whether you're saved or not. Because your image will begin being stamped on your life. The image of God. Here in the Revelation, it talks a lot about the mark of the beast. People are terrified, waiting for some number to be 666 to be planted on their forehead or to be planted on their hand. Bible also talks about those with the mark of God in their forehead. It don't have to be a mark that you and I can see. It says, I belong to God. It's His image stamped upon us. We have the image of the world, or we have the image of God stamped upon our lives and our beings. Get on one side or the other. People can see what you love. It's written all over. Contrary to public opinion, you can know what's in people's hearts. Jesus looked, or Peter looked upon the man and he said, his heart is full of wickedness. He could see it. It was written all over him. Thy heart is not right within the sight of God. Proud look. Look at ourselves. Is it a proud look? A lying tongue. God hates a lying tongue. God loves truth. God loves honesty. Used to be something that was lifted up and exalted. Man used to be known by his word. Handshake was all it took. Or a man just had to say, I'll do it. And a deal was a deal. Now we got to have contracts and all kinds of things because nobody's honest enough to be trusted with just saying, I'll do it. Let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. Learn to love that. Learn to hate the deceit and falsehoods. And hands that shed innocent blood. A lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. People just love to see people get hurt. People just love to see people get hurt. They love the car races to watch a crash. They love to see someone on the other team get hurt so they get the advantage on their team. God hates it. They love to see their enemies brought down. God said, don't rejoice, lest the thing befall you also. Don't rejoice when your enemies fall. The heart that deviseth evil imaginations. The heart that deviseth evil imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. God hates these things. Amos chapter 5. Verse 21, I hate, I despise your feast days and will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beast. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Ye have offered me unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel. But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and your Chinim, your images, the star of your God, which you made to yourselves. God hates all your religious activity. He hates offerings instead of doing what's right. He loves what's right. He doesn't love the offerings. He doesn't love innocence being slain. He loves what's right. Take away from me the noise of thy songs. The noise of thy songs. I will not hear the melody of thy vials. People think that they can come to church and they've got their duty done. They sing. They talk about Jesus being offered on a cross for them. And then go right back out with the stamp of the devil all over them. God hates that. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 6. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And also in verse 15. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. These doctrines were teaching that people could just live however they wanted to and be forgiven. That it didn't matter what you did in the flesh. That it wasn't important. God hates those things. God hates religious performances. There's a lot of things that God hates. Learn what He hates and avoid it. Malachi says, I hate the putting away. He hates divorce. Psalm 11. Verse 5. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. God hates things. God hates evil. God hates the wicked. And him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. That just because I'm this, where's this coming from? This is the Word of God. You don't like it? This is who God is. And it's up to you to conform to Him. This is the God we're going to stand before. If you want to create an image of some lovey-dovey God that's not going to hate anybody, that's just going to forgive everything, you're going to be shocked when you stand before Him and you see Him as He really is. You're going to be shocked throughout all eternity that you chose to believe some puffy little vain imagination of your own opinion rather than the Word of God. What's it mean to believe? Believe the Word of God above your own opinion. Lose yourself to God. God hates Yes, He's love, but God hates. It doesn't say God is only love. It says God is love. God hates also. You can't love without hate. You can't love good without hating evil. And the Lord add His blessing. Father, we just come before You and we thank You again for Your goodness and Your mercy to us. Help us, Lord, I pray, to conform ourselves, Lord, to what You love and to avoid what You hate, Father. In our own lives, Lord, help us be faithful to You in Jesus' name. Look at yourselves first. All right. First of all, I want to start off. A couple of weeks ago, we preached about that God does hate some things. And I read a verse in Psalm 11 and I want to make a correction there. I read it a little later in the Septuagint and I read it again in the King James and it just doesn't say what it appears to say here. Psalm chapter 11 and verse 5 says, "The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth." What that's saying is that the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence hates his own soul. So that doesn't change the idea that God doesn't hate, but in this particular verse, he that loveth violence and the wicked hates his own soul. Just wanted to bring that out, that's the blessedness of just trying to look and find the truth. We don't have to change things whenever we're wrong. We let the truth change us. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. He hates his own soul. People think that they love themselves because they love sin. They're enjoying themselves and having a good time. But you're actually hating your own soul.